Great.
Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for April 3rd, 2022. Insane. Okay, Sarah. Oh, this is so good. Sarah is a cash flow kitten. She gives talks on how to invest in the stock market for newbies. And she also has a second side business where she consults for political campaigns and nonprofit organizations. Victories galore. She got an offer to work at a new digital firm for her dream starting salary of $80,000 a year. We coached back in January for her to ask her current firm for $80,000. And that number, she wrote, only a few months ago, felt completely out of my reach. And I ended up asking my current firm for $73,000, which at the time still felt out of my reach. But she asked anyway, and then they gave her $60,000. But then this new company gave her 80 because in her interview for the new firm, she just asked for 80. The interviewer didn't even blink and said, okay. And then she said, great. And remained very composed. But of course, on the inside, yes, your jaw is hitting the floor and you're freaking out and like the fireworks is going off for sure. Oh, so just congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
It feels good. And to be clear, I got coaching from Christine, Evan. I just want to say that. I don't know if it was clear in that because it just said we coached, but we was me and Christine. And you told me to ask for 80. And I was like, oh, la, la, la. And I asked for 73 and they gave me 60. And then this job, I just said 80. And they didn't, like, when they sent me the offer letter, they just, they had 80. I thought they were going to negotiate. Mm. I thought, I was so sure. I was ready. I was like, 75. I'm definitely, like, getting 75. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'll at least get a raise from where I'm at now. But they, I was, and I got a bump in my title, too. So, yeah. So,
good.
Yeah.
So either you nailed the number that they were going to offer you, or they could go way higher where they were like, yeah, 80, fine, not a problem. That's good. Yeah. Which is great because also then you know that if you like the job, there's room for advancement. It's not bad to be like, oh, I didn't get all I could get. It's like,
yeah.
If they seemed fine, then it's like, okay, room for growth here. This is good.
Yeah. That's, I'm glad you said that actually. Cause I was, she just was so like, that's my dog, by the way. but, she was just so nonchalant about it. And I thought back when you said about asking for a raise, it's like everybody has a certain sized pie. And so like, they've got like a size pie where you don't blink it saying 80,000 buckaroos. I just like, so.
Yeah, that's great. So your two questions here are fabulous.
Thank you.
To talk about, because these are things that come up for people and they're both like, you wrote this like rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just stuff all of us have to learn at some point, but these are really, really great. You're not alone. It's not like just you. So let's dig in, because I know you have to leave. So here's what you wrote. You're consulting for a sheriff's race in North Carolina right now. They haven't raised a lot of money, but I haven't asked for payment yet. And I started working before I got the money squared away, which I know is a very rookie mistake. Ah, you wrote, I need to clean this up because I'm resentful now for helping do all this highly specialized campaign work and not charging for it, or at least not getting paid for it right now. And this so often happens. You are in charge of, you're like hiring a graphic designer to do a logo and a website designer, and all those people are getting paid for their contributions. Yeah, because they're charging for it. And you're sitting here working for free, but overseeing and managing everything. And I'm so frustrated with myself. Yeah. So let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So the good news is you're never going to do this again.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the good news. But for the edification of like clarity around this for yourself and for other people who will be listening to this in the future, like what was the mechanics of what happened? Like you got an offer and then you were like, you said, sure, I'll help you. And then how did you get into doing all this work already?
Yeah, I know. So in, first of all, like in political campaigns, especially in for like local races, there is, it's a small pie. So, you know, I know that this isn't going to be like a lucrative job for me, but like value wise, like, you know, it's highly lucrative, if you will. You know, it's like his opponent is, you know, pretty bad. And so I had a colleague who I'd done campaign work with, you know, say, because I was talking to my colleague about work because I started had looking for another firm to go to and that hadn't clicked yet. So I was like looking for more side hustle work. And he said, oh, you have to talk to this person. He's looking for somebody. He needs somebody, blah, blah, blah. And it was like under the assumption that I would be paid like 100%, like not volunteer. And then it took us a couple weeks to connect, but I connected with him and we talked. And so then we had like talked maybe for like 45 minutes to get to know one another, to make sure we could work together. And then we decided to meet on Zoom because he wanted me to meet his wife, because his wife is like sort of also his partner with this, like, which is pretty normal. And so, you know, she had to also like me. So anyway, and then that meeting though, kind of, that's where I was going to bring up the money, but it turned into kind of like a work session. So it wasn't like a formal thing. And then it's just now it's like every Tuesday and Thursday, we meet for like about an hour and a half, you know, just building out the campaign as, you know, I take them through all the steps they need to do to make it a successful race. So my question to you is
why, what inside you,
yeah,
what story or what thing, what inside you had held you back from having the money conversation in that first Zoom meeting?
Right.
That's my first question. And then my second question is, what has held you back from having it the next day and then the next day and then the next day?
I wanted them to like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had, it's like this, I have this like martyr complex with money, I think, like that I can't do like valuable work if I'm getting paid for it. Like it's not real if I'm getting paid for it. I know that sounds so weird, especially in like politics. It's such like a lot of like, well, true political work, not, you know, like it's really service oriented. And so also like, they don't have a lot of money right now and I'm going to help them raise it. You know what I mean? So it's, but I feel I have this weird story I'm telling that I'm like stealing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, do you know where that comes from? The origin of that story?
Somewhere deep inside my family, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's the, you know, I can't get paid. It diminishes the true value of my service and contribution to this worthy cause when I'm getting paid for it.
Right.
That's one story.
Yep.
But I think the core story that will travel with you, no matter what kind of work you're doing, is if I ask for money, people won't like me.
Yes. Oh, hugely. Oh, big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is the hidden benefit that you're, what is the benefit, hidden or not, that you're getting out of holding on to that story? Well, if I ask for money, people won't like me. What are you getting out of that?
Right. I'm getting that, like, I'll always have work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be guaranteed work for the rest of my life.
And if people like you, because that's what you're really doing with the story, you're going, I'm willing to trade money for people liking me. So what does people liking you give you or protect you from? Or like,
oh, you're so smart. Oh, well, I know I'm an empath. I can feel other people's feelings really intensely. Right now, my job, I'm leaving. They're so mad at me, and it's like it's horrible for me right now. Like I got a nasty message from someone I don't even work with. Like, it's so intense. When somebody doesn't like me, I can't stand it. Oh, it is so hard for me to bear when someone is displeased with me. I'm like a people please. Like I mean, I'm working on not, you know, like I'm recovering from it, but like that is a defense mechanism I have. Because when someone is unhappy with me, and usually it's like not like the work thing, my job right now, it's totally unjustified. Like I've done nothing wrong. And it is so painful for me, like to not only have somebody not like me, but like unfairly not like me. And so, yeah, that's what the payoff is. I don't have to deal with, I mean, it's like an intense discomfort with me, like, you know, yeah.
So. Yeah. For folks listening, when you are empathic or you're highly sensitive, which isn't a derogatory term, it's an actual kind of clinical term.
Yeah, no, I'm an HSP.
Yeah, HSP.
Like a legit one. Yeah.
Yeah. You're physically and emotionally absorbing other people's energies. Yeah. Whether it's the energy that's directed directly at you or just the general energy of a room that happened from something that you weren't even involved in. It's just the energy in the room from people and their feelings. Yeah, it is a burden because you absorb it and then you take it home with you and you have to discharge it in some way. And it's just, that's just extra work. It's not like you can just turn on Netflix and the day goes away. Like, most people, no. This is a real like, oh my God, I feel like this. And it's not even my feelings. It's not even my emotion.
Yes.
Like it's like you get these little things that cling to you, these little, you know, little alien beings, and you have to kind of discharge, get them off of you at the end of the day. And that just takes time.
Yeah.
So your little lizard brain is like, that's not fun. And we don't have time for that. So if you don't ask for a lot of money, you just like, play under the radar and be a martyr, then we don't have to deal with all of that.
Right. Right.
Okay. So it's really great that you're clear on like, okay, I see what I'm trading here.
Yeah. Yeah. That really is helpful.
So if you no longer want to make that trade though, in your life,
right,
then something you'll need to get a little bit of help with or learn a little more, you build a bigger toolkit, is how do I either protect myself so not as much of the energy clings to me, and how do I discharge that at the end of the day more thoroughly and quicker?
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of it. So it's like, okay, here it comes. Right. Whoop, there they fall, you know. And you can go like the energy Reiki healing route where they teach you to put a bubble of light around you, or you can go, you know, cognitive behavioral, like there's lots of tools out there. You just have to find yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as uncomfortable, time consuming, and annoying as the dark side of your empathic qualities are, because it's not bad to be an empath or an HSP. There's just a light, like with everything, light side, dark side. So the dark side is like, okay, so this happens. You're not going to die from it.
Right.
As awful and annoying and time consuming as it feels. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're not going to die for it. And you know what will help? Having more money to then get therapy help with that. If you have more money, you can protect yourself in different ways too.
Right. Yeah.
So part of, and this is the stuff, this is why mindset is so important, because I can coach you all day long and like how to ask for a raise or how to, you know, start a business. But if you've got a story running going, yeah, but I'm not going to trade, I'm going to let go of money because I don't want people to be mad at me. It's like, well, that is going to stop you or slow your progress down every time. Okay. Yeah. So if I ask for money, people won't like me is a story. It's not that it's not based in some reality, because it's been your experience of, oh, this is very uncomfortable. I don't want that. But what is a alternative story that you can replace that one with?
I think the last cash flow coaching, we were talking about it, you know, I'm baked. And like, what was the story of protecting me from not like owning my power in the workplace in terms of like, I'm really experienced and I know what I'm doing. And it's like, I was afraid of making a mistake. And you know, it's like the flip side though, is like, your life is going to be so much richer, like monetarily, but also just like emotionally. So I think maybe just like reordering the story and just reminding myself, like, I will be richer, you know, wealthier, but also like more in my, you know, one big lesson I've learned this year is speaking up and expressing my needs. Cause before I get very resentful, but like, you know, the martyr, and the resentment goes away. It was like mind blowing. It's like, yeah. And yeah, but like to get from A to B, just reminding myself, my life is going to be a lot fuller, like richer, with, you know, with asking for what I need, which is to be paid.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And I want a story that's almost a mirror image of the other story, because it's closer. And it, I think that makes it an easier flip, because sometimes when your brain goes from like, oh, if I ask for money, people won't like me. Yes, but I will be richer. And it's a little abstract.
Okay.
And your brain goes back and goes, your lizard's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what about the people?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I'll be richer. But what about the people? So what if, here's a way to do it. And I want you, you know, to pick words that really resonate with you. Mm-hmm. If I ask for money, people won't like me. What if the flip of that is, if I'm comfortable with money, people will like me.
Ooh.
If you can't get to like, if your brain's like bullshit, then you could replace like with respect.
Yeah. If I'm comfortable.
With money and talking about money and dealing with money, people will respect me.
Oh, I love that.
And the only people who are going to like you are your right people.
Right.
That's who likes us. Our right people.
Yeah.
And if we go out in the world and we'll connect with some of them, but people who aren't necessarily your right people can respect you, even if they don't necessarily like you. They can be like, well, you know, she's got her shit together. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm, the more comfortable I am with money, the more people will respect me and the more I'll find my right people.
Wow.
Because the thing about being a martyr, not stating your needs and working for less, and you can't find your right people that way because you're not actually being who you are. You're hiding.
Right. Yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to be out there going, yeah, I'm shooting for 2 million. And your right people will be like, yeah, me too. Woohoo. This is awesome. Let's go on this fun adventure together. I'll talk about money. You can talk about money. I'm not mad that you have more than me because I know that I'm doing my thing. And like,
Yeah, totally.
I'm so happy you're, whether or not this new job is like the perfect fit for you, I'm so happy you're going to now be kind of steeping in an environment where 80,000 is like whatevs.
NBD.
That's what you need to be. You'd be like, oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now you're at this political campaign. They don't have a lot of money.
Right.
But they do have money to pay for signs and websites and logos. So BS, they have enough money. There's two ways you can do this. You can state, okay, this is, we're going to talk about two things. First, we're going to talk about the money you need. And then we're going to talk about how you're going to broach this now that you've kind of already started working for free and we haven't had the money conversation yet.
Yeah.
But first thing first though, is there's two ways you can do things like this. One, you could say, I need to get paid this month, this much, or you can say, I need a retainer of this much money. And every time we raise an increment of $10,000, I need this much percent of that.
Right.
So they don't have to pay you until they're actually getting money, which you're helping them bring in.
Right.
So makes you only more motivated to bring it in, but but you get a cut of it every single time.
Right. Right. Right.
Up until, and you can say, you know, I get a cut of every $10,000 increment we bring in, up to this much every single month or up to this much total, you know? So what about the, like, how are you, what do you want for the work you're doing? What do you want?
Well, I was gonna, say $1,000 a month, which is like, relatively standard for, like the his level of race. Cause it's a local race. Mm-hmm. And I also am not going to be doing this. I just don't want to be doing it either, which is another issue.
Okay.
But I would like to get paid for what I've done. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, and it's just such low pay for, you know, but, it's kind of like at my work, my current job where I'd asked for 73 and they gave me 60, like Christine, I'm not sure that like they completely had 73 to give me anyway, you know, like, I just think like they're, you know, I'm glad I'm getting out anyway, cause I don't know about how long they'll last, but also like this race, like it's okay. Now that them not liking me is coming up again. So that's why I'm kind of struggling to give you a number with confidence. I feel like 1,000 is too low, but then I feel also like 1,000 is kind of high for the race. Like,
How long, when is the election?
It's November 8th.
Okay. And are you literally like, I'm sticking with this till November 8th. Like, what's your deal?
Heck no. Okay. I came on saying I would temporarily help them build out their campaign so that they could raise some seed money to then find like a manager.
Okay. And how much seed money do you think? And in your mind, what did that mean? End of June?
Right. Yeah.
What did you
think? End of June, like maybe end of May, really, like see if I could get them to a place where I would feel comfortable leaving them by the end of May.
Okay. And then when did you start?
2 weeks ago. So mid-March.
Okay. So they kind of technically owe you 500 if we're going with 1,000, 500 and then 1,000 and then 1,000. And then how much initial seed money are you guys trying to raise? What's your goal?
I think for him, we can definitely get to like 20,000 by the end of May. You know, hopefully more than that, but I think like 20,000 is no problem for his race. So, I mean, I'm probably lowballing it. I'm sure we could get to even 50 for his race. My colleague thinks like this is going to be $1 million sheriff's race because his opponent is kind of like this other famous terrible sheriff. So, you know, there's a lot here and he's a really good candidate. So, it's, the money thing is really getting in the way of my relationship with this candidate right now. I mean, and that's on me.
Yeah. So basically you need to have a conversation that something along the lines of, okay, this was my bad. I just got so excited about this whole thing. We started talking and then I dived right in because I love doing this. Okay. But we didn't have the money conversation yet. And I want to make sure before we continue into April, if you want to continue with me doing this for you.
Right.
So I'm charging this much per month, which would mean half of that for March. Are you good with that? You can pay me at the end of each month.
Okay.
March would be due now. Like, that's a conversation that needs to happen. That
feels fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can charge whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you did it so chill, you know, like you were just like, hey, I was so excited about the thing. And so like, that's why, but this, you know, like, it's just a really light way to do it. Cause in my head, the way it plays out is like,
right. And that, I want you, this is such good practice for you to move money out of the realm of the personal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They could say, no, we can't continue. That's too much. We can't continue. We'll find another way, but thank you so much for doing it. And then you guys could go have lunch. Like, it's like, oh, okay. You don't want it. Great. I've got tons of other things I can do with my time.
Yeah.
That's right. Fine. But if you want me to take my time and put it towards your thing,
right,
then I need some money.
Right.
But if you have this energetic thing of like, oh, you choose what's right for you, man. Like, that I am happy if you say no, I'm good. If you say yes, I just want you to know I'm available. I am able to do this for you through the end of May. You need to like do a hard, if you want to get out by the end of May, you have to, because they need to plan.
To tell them. Yeah.
But it's just business.
Yeah.
Because the thing is too, is you can't make people like you.
Right.
You can't control them. And because it's business, if someone better rolled in who was like super more experienced than you and willing to do it for free, they'd drop you in a hot second. They drop
exactly.
You. No loyalty in politics. Like,
or anywhere in business, really. Cause like my job right now, I saw them fire someone several months ago. She had worked really hard, but it wasn't a good fit for them anymore. She got fired. It was like, it's business, you know? I mean, yeah.
And that's okay.
Right. Yeah.
Great when you're doing business and you love the person and everyone's on the same page and everyone's on the same team. And that's the gravy. You know, that doesn't have to be there, but the money and clarity around what you're doing, how much you're doing it for, when it starts and stops, that clarity has to be there.
Yes.
All the emotions run wild behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, and you're kind of like, I could take or leave this thing. So if they say no, who cares?
Oh yeah.
That's why if you want to say 2,000, you can say 2,000 because they'll either say yes or they'll negotiate it down. You'll probably, if you say 2,000, you'll probably get more than 1,000 likely.
Yeah.
Right. And then if they say, oh, that's too much, great, you got all your time back. No.
Yeah. Oh man. Christine, I'm so sorry. I have to go. I have this thing at 7:30 now.
Yep, that's so, okay. So listen to this recording because I'll say a few more things.
Thank you so much. I'm definitely listening. And Evan and Kate, it's so great to see you guys. And I'm going to listen to what y'all say too. So, okay. I'll see you guys later. Okay. Bye.
Bye. So to continue on with this thought is I can see people making a second mistake, but error in thought logic, maybe, of like, oh my gosh, I didn't have the money conversation. They're not prepared for me to ask for $1,000 or $2,000 a month. So because it was kind of like my fault, I'll say, okay, so I need to get $2,000 a month, but I'll give you a March for free. Let's just call March a wash, or I'll give it to you for half. Like, it's okay. Okay. Well, what I would point out is, yeah, you didn't have the money conversation, but neither did they. They didn't bring up the, why didn't they bring up the money conversation either? So either they wanted you to work for free and they thought, well, let's just see when she finally mentions it. Like it was both people needed to bring up the money conversation. And I don't think it was great on their part. I don't know what was holding them back from bringing the money conversation up. Either it was an assumption that you were going to work for free, or they were hoping you could work for free, or they just were going to see when you were going to handle it, or they have their own blocks around the money conversation. Who knows? But yeah, you should have done it, but yeah, they should have done it too. So no one's at fault. You don't need to give discounts. You're just like, this is my fee. This is the thing. This is what we're doing. Do you want to do this? And then if they're great, solid people, even if they don't want to work with you, they'll still pay you for March. And if they're a-holes, they'll be vindictive and be like, oh, well, you should have brought this up. They'll find some excuse to not pay you for March. But that's their character and you have no control over that. And unfortunately, sometimes you only find out people's character around the money conversation, which is why it's good to have the money conversation right up front so you know who you're working with. Are you working with people who can handle the money conversation? It's very good to know right up front. So Sarah's other question is, she's beginning this new job at another firm and she'll be paid more money. So her guilt is kicking in and she's like, oh my gosh, they're paying me $80,000. Now I have to work harder than I did at my last job because I got paid $60,000 at the last job, but now it's like $80,000. And the way she was working at her old job was causing burnout. And then she got resentful because she wasn't getting paid what she wanted, but she also wasn't asking for it. And that's the resentment. And then we don't want to deal with the fact of the stuff that we need to own about that. So then we project it onto the other people of how they're so mean and not paying me what we're worth. And so then we get into this little resentment ball. And so she doesn't want that to happen at the new job. She wants to start the job off on the right foot. So what would be helpful? Okay. So there's two things here. The first thing is that you gotta separate you have to work a certain amount of hard in order to get a certain amount of money. That is a weird equation that was put into your brain by some, you know, series of events over the course of your life, but that's not math. That's not correct math. You're not paid for your time. You're paid for the value of your contribution to this workplace. And if you're good at what you do in that it kind of comes quickly, it kind of comes easy, you can outperform other people, even when you're not working at 100% of your capacity, You just need to fulfill what they expect you to fulfill. You just need to do better than the person who was in your job before you. And chances are they weren't that great. They might have been great, but the odds are they weren't as good at it as you probably are, Sarah. But it's the value, not I've got to put in the time and I've got to put in all this effort because I'm getting paid more. As we said, you're getting paid in relation to their pie that they have to divide up. And they're like, okay, it's not just the time and effort you're putting forth, it's the expertise. People are buying your brain. And if your brain can deliver what they need in like a fraction of the amount of effort it takes other people, great. That's lucky you to have a brain like that. They're paying for the value and your expertise. And it's, you really want to separate that out from the amount of hours and the amount of effort, because that's all very relative. Some projects, you know, will take more out of you, but some projects might not take a lot out of you at all, but you're still getting your salary, and that's okay. I think an employee's job is to do what they're asked to do and contribute towards this company moving forward, to certainly not get in the way of the company moving forward, and also to not do things that chip away at the company, like steal shit. Like, you know, don't do that. Don't waste people's time. Don't diddly daddly around all day long. Like, you know, if you're there, be there and make your contribution and do no harm. But someone paying you $80,000 just because that's the first time you've made that much money does not mean you have to step up to the plate in a very 110% way to earn it. No, you just got to be like, okay, well, let me just do the job. And it might take me, I might be able to do this job at 85% effort compared to somebody else's 100%. So do it at 85. And then you have all that extra energy to spend on your own life. And if everyone around you is pleased with your performance, then you never have to take it higher than 85% unless you want to. So that leads into the second thing. Whenever you start a job, the first month or two, yeah, you want to impress. Sure, you want people to feel great that they hired you. You want to, you know, go a little above and beyond just to fit in and, you know, get a feel that you're on board and happy to be there. But during that time, you're also testing to see what people are impressed with so that you know where to set your effort level. Because if people are impressed with your 85%, congratulations. Like, you don't need to go higher than that. If everyone is happy with you at 85%, then take that extra energy and put it towards something else that you want to do. And people might even be impressed with your 65%, depending on the job. I remember being an assistant once, and my boss was floored that he was like, can you please send this fax and blah, 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 blah. And I like did it in 5 minutes. And he couldn't believe it. Cause I guess the gal who was working before me took her like a half hour. So I'm like, oh my God, I barely have to do anything here for this person to be super impressed with me. Good to know. So I can do a lot of, I can save my energy. Now, especially with females, because we are indoctrinated to be good girls. And school also indoctrinates us to be like, you know, good behavior, do the job, A plus effort, that kind of thing. But it can be with guys as well, but it's very strong in women, where it's like, okay, I'm going to show up for my new job and give 110% because then everyone will like me. Everyone will be very pleased with my progress. And that's great. And I'm going to give 110%. And then I guess at some point I'll dial back when I get permission to do so. First of all, no one will give you permission to dial back. And if you go in guns a-blazing at 110%, people will think that's your baseline. People will think that's your 100%, but you're working at 110. That's very dangerous because there are always times in every single job where things happen in the company and they're like, okay, guys, we're going into crunch month. This is our heaviest time of the year. So everyone will need to give 110%. Work a little extra and do it a little faster. And you're like, no, wait, what? I've been working at 110%. But they will expect you to be cranking it higher. And that's how people burn out at jobs, because they've got nowhere to go because they've been like going above and beyond from the very beginning. You cannot go above and beyond except for that little bit of time, right? At the beginning, you just want to do enough to be like, oh yeah, cool. She's great. And then you want to dial it back once everyone's like happy that you're there, because you will burn out. If you give 110% from the beginning, people will think that's your baseline. And then it's really hard to dial back, because a lot of times there are some companies that are respectful of their employees and they know it's a roller coaster through the year. And there are peak times when people have to give 110%, but then the company naturally readjusts back to normal. But some companies don't do that. They're like, we need to give 110%. And then like 2 months later, okay, guys, this is like really, we need to give 110% again. It's like, it never ends. It's sort of like a tax increase. Once there's a tax increase, when do they dial back the taxes? Usually never. It just sort of is permanent. So you're in charge of regulating your energetic output at a job and making sure that you set a baseline, I suggest below 100%, so that when everyone has to give 110%, it just means you have to give 100%. So you're not burning out. You're not overextending yourself and you're not spending so much time there that you have no life now, where you just go home and just want to turn on the TV because like there's nothing else there. And especially Sarah, you have these ambitions to do workshops and build your own business. And you're going to need a lot of energy for nights and weekends to do all this other stuff. You cannot be giving 100% of your energy to this job. I don't care how much they're paying you. So go in with this kind of strategic approach for, I'm going to do a good job. I'm definitely going to do the job they're paying me for. I'm definitely going to do no harm. I'm definitely going to make sure that, you know, people are pleased and things are running smoothly in my little corner of the company. But I'm going to try to conserve as much of my own energy as possible here because I got other stuff I need to do in my life. And nobody, well, very rarely, there are some jobs where they are paying you enough to devote your whole life to the job, but those are super rare, super rare. And this $80,000 ain't it. So yeah. So, you know, they get you. So instead of thinking, oh, they have to get $80,000 worth of my effort, because that's just relative to your brain of how your brain is looking at $80,000. Because to Jennifer Aniston brain, I don't think she gets out of bed for $80,000. Like, eh. But your brain, you're like, whoa, $80,000. I'm so happy to have this. That's great. But I totally lost my little train of thought there. But it's not about, ooh, I have to be here and do an $80,000 job. It's like, no, you just have to do the job. And then they happen to be paying you $80,000. But you'd be doing the exact same amount of work if they were paying you $60,000 or $125,000. The job is the job. The work is the work. They just have a big enough pie to give you $80,000 to do this particular work. So separate out the money, because the money is relative to your brain and to their pie that the company has to spend. Separate out the money from the actual work. And then you want to do the work, but you don't need to go above and beyond. Unless this is the career that you're going to take to the top. Then sure, you know, you want to impress, but this you have other aspirations. So this is just the job that's going to pay your rent. Okay, so there, I hope that gives you some good food for thought. Evan Hello. Is a cash flow cat who does freelance technical writing for companies. Evan got paid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Evan got paid. That's his big victory. And they paid the invoice on time and they covered the late fee without having to have a conversation, which I'm proud of them for. Good for them as well. They should. Mm-hmm. And you wrote that you brought up your freelance technical writing work to a friend who works for another engineering company. And he said that his company might have some technical writing work that they may need help with. So there's another seed that you planted right there. Huge victory. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's exciting. Both of these things are exciting. And it was the second one that leads into the question that I have
cool.
today as well.
Okay. So what's your questions? What can we help you with?
The question, as I'm working on the, like you said, like to work on, like the elevator speech for, mm-hmm. for my side biz and what I do. And I've been working on that. And I have a file that I could possibly share in the mm-hmm. chat if that's yeah. possible. Okay. Yeah. Let me add that real quick. It's still a work in progress. Wait, where is it? It's not giving me the right options. Just try it.
I'll do hold music.
Sorry, I thought I could okay. add it through my Please hold for technical difficulties.
The technical writer is having technical difficulties. I suppose okay. I could pause the. Okay, so we have the documents. Okay. So I'm going to read it. This is the okay. first time I'm seeing it. Okay. So this is sort of like copy that would go on your website.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Does this sound like you? If certain members of your engineering staff were to leave or retire tomorrow, are you at risk of losing crucial undocumented subject matter expertise? Are there inconsistent interpretations and applications of what should be standardized subject matter expertise among your engineering staff? Would you like to reduce overhead costs spent on onboarding training for new hires? Can you not afford to have your engineering staff spend time away from their primary work to record their expertise? Well, I can help, or some version of this. What problems will the document itself solve? Acquire peace of mind. So the document you would create for them
yes.
would acquire peace of mind with sustainable lasting record of subject matter expertise. For one reason or another, people will eventually leave a company. However, if someone who is key or a sole source of subject matter expertise leaves, you're up shit creek. He didn't write that. I just said that right now. it will also help you train new engineers more efficiently and effectively, reducing the teaching burden, which lowers costs. And it would ensure that all your engineers, new and senior, are on the same page. What problems will I solve? By hiring me, they can reduce their overhead costs. Well, you're definitely headed in the right direction.
Okay,
so let me think about this for a second. Does this? Okay. okay, because this is like you're talking to kind of a person running a business, mm-hmm, versus you talking to an individual about themselves, I would say something like, what's been keeping you up at night? Or like, and those, something I want it to be something where, when would they think of these problems? Because you're not coming in to put out an urgent fire. So right. They're not walking in going, oh my God, this is going to affect our company. Like at the bottom line, at the end of the month, we got to do something about this. The problem you're coming in to solve is one of those important problems, because it's not urgent. It's in the important but unurgent quadrant of the matrix. It just keeps getting, the can keeps getting kicked down the road, to use a very old expression, but like they just keep pushing it off. Oh, we'll do it next quarter. We'll do it next year. Mm-hmm. But it's costing them. So those urgent, I mean, those important things that are nagging them on their to-do list, when are they thinking about that? Are they thinking about that? Like, I don't think this is a problem that keeps them up at night.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's mostly right. If something comes up, like, ah, I wish we had this.
Yes. Kind of thing.
Because I remember when I was working for this company, it was always in the back of their mind. Yeah, we need to do this. This would be good to have. But it just, like you said, the can getting kicked down the road over and over again. Because they couldn't dedicate anybody on the staff to do it. All the projects that were making the company money always took priority, since that's the important urgent.
So then, what if instead of does this sound like you, it's has this been hanging out on your company's to-do list for way, way too long? It's like, oh man, he just crawled inside my brain. How did he know that this has been on the to-do list for like 800 years? Has this been on your hanging out on your company's to-do list for way, way, couple A's too long? I get it. And what is this thing called that you create for people?
And in, like, it's a good question. internal technical document, I guess, is the best thing that comes to mind right now.
Okay. I know that.
Standard operating procedure.
Yeah. SOP. SOP manual. It's like a show Bible, or, you know, a design Bible. It's like, here's how we do it. So standard, I get it. Creating a standard operating procedure manual isn't sexy and it's not all that urgent, but boy, is it important. It's important because for every month you don't have it, you're losing, because without one, you're leaking money behind the scenes. And then you go into, if certain members of your, for example, if certain members of your engineering staff were to leave or retire tomorrow, you will lose. Or if certain members of your engineering staff were to leave or retire tomorrow, they walk out the door with crucial undocumented subject matter inside their brains. I want you to talk with a little more flavor. I want you to talk a little more colloquial and less kind of stiff and technical, even though that's your expertise, but you're talking to a person and they need to feel that you understand them. And I think a lot of technical writing sites will sound technical in their writing. And if you sound like a person, it's more like, God, this guy is in my brain. So certain members of your engineering staff were to leave or retire tomorrow, they walk out the door with crucial undocumented, un needs to be like capitalized, the U and the N, like, or bolded, like
capital bolded, italicized,
whatever, it looks everything. Good. Yeah, like undocumented subject matter in their brains that you now, that no one at the company now has access to. There will be inconsistent interpretations and applications of what should be standardized subject matter among your engineering staff. So we're taking them from being questions to this is happening. That will happen. That has happened to you already. Like, let's face the facts here. I'm not lying. You know, it's true. So this is happening. And then I don't want your company to be in this position, but I understand why you're here. It's because your staff is fully maxed out right now, and there's no one who can take on this kind of important but not urgent to do or assignment. So it's smart to bring someone like me from outside the company in, who can knock this off your to-do list and set your company up to plug some significant money leaks or profit leaks.
Right.
So you are literally taking them through like, yeah, that's hanging out in your to-do list, right? No, I get it. I get it. The problem is, without it, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. Oh, I don't want that for your company. I mean, like, I get it because there's nobody who can do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really smart to bring me in and I will do it for you.
Yes.
So you're just like taking their brain and going, yeah. And leading them down the path to where like, it kind of does make sense to bring somebody like him in. And then the next thing is, why you? Because you've now convinced me, or not convinced me, but you've painted the picture of the issue I have, and that the way to solve the issue is to bring somebody in. So now you have to make the case of why it should be you.
Right.
Because this, and because this, and because this. So I almost think you have three little sections here that I wrote. Does this sound like you painting the problem part? And then you're like, what problems will the document solve? I think that that middle part can be, some of it can be wrapped into the first part and some of it can be wrapped into the second part. But I think I would encourage you now to think of your text and copy and website in two sections. The first section, let me paint this thing. I know what's going on. That's what you want them to feel like. Oh my God, he knows exactly what's going on. Right. How did he know that? He gets me. And once they feel you get them, they're like, so who's he? Who's he? Now you tell them why you are so well suited. They already are feeling the texture that like you're a dude, you're a real person. You get them like you're cool. And now you're like, and I've got the chops for this. Like, I get it. I go, I can come in. I can do this seamlessly. I'm like good at what I, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Cool. Yeah. You are on the right path.
Okay. Because I also tried to focus on the sizzle aspects of what, of this. And is this, there's, does this content represent more of the sizzle side of what I'm doing versus the steak? Okay.
Yes. Even though the way you were phrasing some things was a tiny bit stiffer than it can be. This was the sizzle. And so what I'm talking about for folks listening, there's a whole chapter of creating cash flow where we talk about the steak and the sizzle. And a lot of people who are experts on their websites and all on their marketing materials, they talk about the steak. I'll come in and create a 60-page document in 4 months, and the document will have four parts, and I'll do this, and this is how I'll do it, and I'll interview people, and I'll gather this. No one cares how you're going to do it. The sizzle is like, oh, let me paint the picture of your problem. Let me show you that I know exactly what's going on in your brain. I get how you're thinking, and it's not wrong. Like, I understand it, but it's costing you money, man. I don't want that for you. Bring in somebody. Yeah. Hey, me, I can do this. Oh, now I'm painting the picture in the second section, even though you're kind of now talking about you as well. You're painting the picture of the after. Mm-hmm. Oh man, you're not telling them what you can do or how you're going to do it. You're not telling them how you're going to do it. You're painting the picture of what your little magic fairy wand will create for them. Oh, they're going to feel like this. It's going to work smoothly. How they're going to feel and how the company will operate. You don't ever have to tell them exactly how you're going to do what you do. They don't really care. They just care that you can. And then you'll talk specs.
Yep. Yeah.
But oh yeah, most, this would be like, hey, I'm Evan. And I can create a SOP manual for your company. I can do it this way, and I'll do it like this. And this is how we'll go about it. And it's a 6-step process. It's just like, okay, that leading with steak is just boring.
Right.
It's just people connect with it and they don't care until they know you know them. So the sizzle is like, oh, I know you, baby. Yeah. Yeah. So you did a really good job. All of this was sizzle.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Just need to add more flavor to the sizzle.
Exactly. Just speak more colloquial. Mm-hmm. But Evan, I really want to point out that this really does speak to your facility as a writer. You really have a wide spectrum of your writing talent, because for you to do highly technical, super organized, super thorough manuals for companies, and you are able to write like this, which has a lot more emotion and sizzle to it. I mean, I'm just like saying, I'm giving you a compliment. I'm saying like, bravo, you are a really strong writer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you can go a degree further. I want you to take your expertise now and add a little bit to it of, now I want you to write in your own voice. Like you're just, you, Evan, are talking to that one person who's reading this website. Mm-hmm. So that's just taking it up a notch.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is something some people can't do. I think you're going to be fully capable of it. I'm just saying, expand. You have the talent, just expand it in this way. But some people can't. It's really hard for them to learn how to just write in their own voice that sounds mm-hmm. natural. But yeah, you're a really good writer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you also really understand. I was only able, and I want to really make this clear for people, I was only able to come in and sort of tweak what Evan had written, because what he'd written so clearly understands his client. I just riffed off of that and put it in little looser language. But reading this, I'm like, oh yeah, you've totally nailed their problems. I only know about your industry because you clearly told me what their problems are. So I could then say what I said.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it just is like, you can really do this business. You clearly understand your client. You're able to talk to them in terms of the sizzle. It's just going to be a matter of like, okay, who's out there? Where are they? But
right.
You've already started to open your mouth and just tell people that you're doing this, and you've mm-hmm. already planted a seed at this other company. So it's like, yeah, this is it. You just keep doing this. You mm-hmm. just keep doing this. So big applause.
Thank
big
you.
Applause.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Really excited for you. Is there anything else? Does that cover it?
Yep. I think that that's all I had for this week. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Other than that, the project itself is going well with my client. We're moving things along. Had a technical meeting to go over their subject matter last week, and now I'm reviewing some things, going to email them back with some questions tomorrow. And yeah, it's moving along.
I'm happy to hear that. I really, really am. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything, Regina?
Not really. I mean, I have my updates, like, I guess they're kind of victories. I did print my postcards. I didn't take them in yet. I took them the other night, but it was closed already. But, and then I made the changes you suggested on my secret little pet sitting website, which I actually did use and give to a client who hadn't reached out for a while. And I let her know, like, hey, you know, I'm leaning more towards offering the Reiki and crystal thing, but since we've worked together before, you can also like opt out of that. And this is what it would be. And I just like did a little screenshot taking out the Reiki thing. And yeah, it was really nice.
It's oh, nice.
Very pretty. And I like the website, and I can customize it how I want it. And so I think that's like a victory, and
totally.
Yeah, that's kind of, and I booked another commercial last week, so I haven't really.
Regina!
I haven't.
Oh, please, no, finish the sentence. So I haven't really
worked on my business.
Yeah, because you booked a commercial. The point of your business is to
supplement, right?
Congratulations. So what is it for? What do you get to do?
Is it fun? We shot it last week. Oh. It was like no lines. It's one of those commercials that will have a voiceover, and we're just like had to do the same little action over and over again. And I was the fictional makeup artist. So it was like a crew on a set, which is, you know, inside the crew on a set or whatever. Then I was the makeup artist. So I just pretended to use these two brushes, not really touch the actress's face or anything. It was funny. So I'll let you guys, I'll let you know, Christine, when these things start airing.
Oh, yes, and, for sure.
But I don't think my comedy really comes out in any of this one, but.
Right. My comedy didn't really come out when I handed my husband lovingly a plate of sausage. Johnsonville bratwurst, to be precise. Like, oh, wow, I'm just using all of my talent. But
yes.
Smile. So I'm like, okay.
But it was really fun just being on set, even though it's like, well, certainly would not be close to an Oscar with this one, but or using those muscles, you know, but made new friends, and that was really cool.
Congratulations. I love that. Two bookings this year so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One in February, one this March, and
let's do one a month.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I like it. And I booked a short film, which isn't going to pay me, but it might have good footage for my.
Sure.
site on my casting profile. So that is also really cool.
That is also really great.
Yes.
Congratulations. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I think that's it for today. Sound good?
All good.